This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, February 12th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, to CA Nuri as we have a man down mashup Wednesday where we combine both shows and we analyze the news. There's a number of things trending, but I selected two that I want to hash out with Aaron Green. But I want to say that this show is sponsored by Click. Click, the Bear of the Bahamas, invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us on Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and the 2025 New Year's Day Junkaloo winners, the Saxon's Superstars. The Junkaloo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Little Giant, and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawe and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkaloo winners, Saxon Superstars, and they are sponsoring this show for the day.
You think you could convince Click to make me a tamarind rattler?
I see no reason why not.
Work on that for me, please.
You think because we're talk show hosts, we can get free things?
I don't need it to be free.
I like free things.
I mean, I like, you know, where I'm
I mean,
from,
if we pass by as celebrity, I mean, I'm a celebrity now.
You are definitely.
Yeah, people
celebrity.
Recognize me. That's C.A. Nuri from the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, especially when they realize that I am kind of dark skinned, they get excited.
That's why I'm asking you to ask for me.
You want to get free things too?
No, I just want them to make it. I'll find the money.
Well, Click sponsoring the show, they should give us some free things.
I mean, if they make a tamarind rattler, Nuri, I'll pay for that. You know how cheap I am. I'll pay for that.
Yeah, you are cheap. That is good. I mean, if they could do that and you pay.
Oh, I'll pay for that.
Good.
Tamarind Rattler? Oi!
Okay. But this is what I want to talk about today. I want to continue and conclude. It's going to be a short conclusion on our conversation with SpaceX.
Okay.
I still believe SpaceX is a good idea. We're taking advantage of they come in here anyway. They come in here and landing on their platform anyway. I think there's some questions we should ask our leaders in regards to how it benefits us. Mm-hmm. I thought we were getting some money. It looked like we're not getting any money. But I want the Bahamian people to look at this soberly. And so when they are talking to us, they can say, well, what about this when you're negotiating? Mm-hmm. Especially when they're just finding out that all negotiations has already concluded, right? Mm-hmm. they come in. And we have how many more landings that happen now?
So after the February 17th landing, I think there are 19 more landings that are scheduled to take place.
So on February 17th, there will be a landing in the Bahamas near the Exumas, like let's say south or north of the Exumas. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have tourists and Bahamians who will be looking at that. And we need to find ways how we can hustle this and mm-hmm. make some money
like,
off this spectacle.
Here's a question that I think should be answered for... Because you're doing this thing. You didn't really ask our permission
to do
it. And so now it's up to us to figure out how we can tie in and benefit from this thing that's happening,
yes.
Right? The first thing I need to hear is a declaration for drone operation during the event. Because I would like to capture as much of this as I can. And the best way to do that is with drone footage.
Okay.
But I need to know if any aerial drone activity will be authorized, if any marine drone activity will be authorized during the time period carved out for this booster landing. I think that's an important thing.
I just want to have the exclusive right to make t-shirts. Like I take the picture, and the picture of this image landing, I get the right. To make the t-shirts.
You're absolutely right, because I just presume any images that I capture from my drone under my steam, I own, and I could do with it what I want. Mm. But perhaps the government needs to explain to us what the relationship is, right? Like, for instance, I have a number of articles coming out of Turks and Caicos, and this may be a good framework for us in the Bahamas to decide what are the questions that we need to ask our government about this upcoming event. The first article is Turks and Caicos residents cite slow response to SpaceX explosion. That's from cruiseradio.net. That was Friday, the 7th of February. I want to start with an article a little earlier than that. SpaceX debris recovery underway in the Turks and Caicos Islands. Public urge to report debris. This is 31st of January, 2025. Following the dramatic SpaceX incident that showered debris across the Turks and Caicos Islands on the 16th of January, a recovery operation is now in full swing. The TCI government, in collaboration with UK and US authorities, is leading the effort to collect and secure the fallen space debris. In a public advisory issued on January 24, 2025, the Turks government reassured residents and visitors that, quote, "There are no reported injuries and limited damage reported to property," close quotes. However, the government emphasized the importance of public cooperation in locating and reporting any remaining debris. A team from the UK Air Accidents Investigation Branch is on the ground working alongside SpaceX representatives to orchestrate the recovery. The public is urged to report any sightings of potential space debris to this address, nationalsecurity@gov.tc, with the subject line SpaceX debris. They have guidelines for reporting debris, Mr. Nuri.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, did the Turks and Caicos government devise these guidelines before the explosion or after the explosion?
And do we have any guidelines?
Right, but now that there was an explosion in the Turks and Caicos, when is the government going to post the guidelines for the Bahamas, right? So here's guidelines for reporting debris. The Turks government has issued clear guidelines for public reporting, for the public reporting of debris. Members of the public are urged to report all sightings of potential space debris by sending in the details to that email address. In the email include location of the debris, island and coordinates, time the debris was sighted, a photograph of the debris next to or alongside another object for scale without touching the debris. Don't touch the debris. As a measure of precaution, wear gloves or hand covering if moving debris. Should direct contact be made with the debris, wash your hands. I would then also call your Ministry of Health.
I saw pictures of people holding debris in Turks and Caicos.
They had in their hand and say, this would fell off. From
Don't
this.
Worry. 6 months from now, we can have a whole bunch of new superheroes coming out of Turks and Caicos Island.
You know I won't be a superhero.
Yeah. Don't touch the debris, Mr. Nuri.
I'm just saying. I just won't be able to fly.
These guidelines also apply to any maritime observation of debris. So if you see something floating in the water, you record the location, like GPS point it, right? The general area.
So I
area.
Can't salvage it.
No, you're not allowed to salvage it. According to Turks and Caicos government, until our government issues official guidelines...
I can salvage it.
You could salvage it, but...
Because I could do my own museum.
Just decide what type of superhero you want to be before you touch it.
I could do my own museum. I mean, if I get my own space junk.
The public was reminded that space debris remains the property of the spacecraft owner, and that the SpaceX incident is an active investigation led by the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration.
What?
Which means if you touch in the debris, you are interfering with an active federal investigation. Now, this part is a bit important, right? Like,
they have jurisdiction inside the Bahamas?
No, but not. They can be given jurisdiction in the same way that the Turks government is working in collaboration with the UK Air Accidents Investigation Branch and the US Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA.
Okay.
Right? So I imagine the Turks government invited them down, right? But yeah, all the pieces of debris apparently belong to the person who owns the aircraft or the entity that owns the spacecraft.
Musk.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it says on paper.
Mm.
You know, like these people live very savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue reading from MIS, in liaison with UK and TCI. Despite these warnings, some residents who gathered debris following the mega rocket's explosion are selling bits and pieces of the wreckage on bidding sites such as eBay for hundreds of dollars.
People buying it?
I think so. But listen, guys, that's easily traceable. They could trace that back to you. Like, even if you have a VPN, you know, I don't know.
So I got to sell mine on Facebook. Just say I found something floating. It's worth your while to get.
You won't get locked up right away. You don't want to wait. You just won't get locked up right now.
So I could do that through WhatsApp.
Let me say this. Don't try sell anything. Especially don't try sell it on Facebook. You want to go to the phone line just for a second?
You try to block my riches. I know people who smuggle people and then become rich, and you say I can't sell.
Yeah, because I understand what you mean. You ain't even smuggling people. You just smuggling broken. The thing broken. We all watch the thing break in the sky. What you mean? I can't pick up this little piece of bumper.
Let's go to
this will go perfect on my Honda.
Just trying to make some quick money. You know, hard work is making you turn a millionaire.
Yes, sir. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Green.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Neary, how y'all doing?
Good, good.
Good. I have a problem. This space thing, this is Elon Musk?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's number one, Elon Musk and Trump. I have my doubts about that because you can't touch the stoppers in our waters, but then we have the best place in the world, and our fish start dying out. Things happen. This like a start. Huh? They put these stuff up in the air and they come down. They can poison us out. Trust me. You know, this is very, very serious. It's very, very serious. And in Exuma, a poor place, like the gem of the country. Huh? Why they go in the Atlantic Ocean, go out in the ocean, Indian Ocean, drop them there. Why here?
Yeah, that's something that I need to continue reading up on because I still haven't found the rationale.
I have a problem. I sit down and I almost cry. Why on the Bahamas? What are they doing in Africa? Come on, be black people. And trust me, they have their agenda. You know, they want the Bahamas. No, they want 51st state to Canada. Will we be 52nd or 53rd? We gotta protect ourselves. But I don't like it. I know the Ben Americans that under something drop off of Governor South. I was there. Mm-hmm. You know? And those boats was there to collect that right there and then. The Navy, right there and then. Our stuff floating around that thing, poisoning thing, right? And you know, fish start dying. We got all kinds of disease around the place right now.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Go ahead, Aaron.
It's one thing I wonder, what is the rationale for the proximity to the Exumas, for the proximity to the islands, right? If the barges that the rockets land on are autonomous, mm-hmm. right, then why can't you do that further out into the ocean and use the Exumas as a launch point, right? So your crew launch from the Exumas to go to the barge, right? Or the barge itself launches from the Exumas and until it gets to its location, and then it stops there. But why the proximity to the Exumas? Okay. Like the technical reason why.
Before we switch, anyone?
Yeah, man, let me just read a little bit more. Safety and environmental concerns. While initial reports suggest no hazardous materials were on board the SpaceX rocket, the Turks government is taking precautions to address any potential environmental impact. UK partners are liaising with TCI environmental and maritime departments to monitor the situation. The Turks government stressed, quote, the safety of the residents and visitors to the TCI remains our highest priority, close quotes. As the recovery operation continues, the government said it is committed to keeping the public informed. Another quick article, again, from Friday, the 7th of February. Residents on the Caribbean island of Turks and Caicos say they have been mostly left to clear up themselves following the spectacular explosion. The explosion last month, described as a, quote, rapid, unscheduled disassembly, close quotes. That's what they call an explosion?
Mm-hmm. It's not really an explosion. It's explained.
Road traffic. Don't let nobody tell you it was a rapid... unscheduled disassembly. That was an accident. Mm-hmm. By SpaceX, left debris strewn across the Turks and Caicos. The explosion was caught on video. Debris from the explosion has littered the main island of Providenciales. There were no injuries, and only one instance of property damage has been reported since the mid-January incident. 3 weeks since then, local residents have cited a very slow and disjointed response from SpaceX. They have been told not to handle any spaceship debris, but it has effectively been left for days after landing on beaches and close to tourist spots popular with visiting cruise guests. So, Nuri, as we close it out, and then for those who want to read more, I found that this was a really thorough article from CNN on the 1st of February. The most powerful rocket ever built exploded over a populated island. Residents are still dealing with the fallout, right? So here's my concern. Like you say, it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. It's happening whether we like it or not. You say you see it as a positive. I see it as a positive if Bahamians are properly prepared to participate in it economically, right? We understand that's on the fringes. We understand that part because y'all already decided where they're going to stay and who can make the money moving them. We already decide all of that. But for us to benefit from it economically, we need to be given access to some parameters. We need to know some things. And we need to know who to talk to get answers from if we have more detailed questions. The second point is this, Mr. Nuri. While fundamentally I have a problem with it, I could compromise, but what I need to see are plans and protocols from the government.
Yes.
What happens if A? What happens if B? What happens if C? Right? What is your environmental response? What is your recovery response? Where are the guidelines, right? Mm-hmm. From y'all from February 16, 2024, when y'all inked the deal, mm-hmm. Where's all of the information for the public to, for the public to prepare themselves?
Yes. So we'll have that to be something we continue to have a discussion on moving forward, especially moving towards the, which day is February what?
17th.
February 17th when it lands. And right. Then we see how it impacts Exuma, how we employ tourism towards it, and everything. So February 17th, we want everyone to tune in, and then we'll have another show on it. Say, well, this is what happened. We have a caller now, and then I want to transition to another topic mm-hmm. I found interesting instead of news I want to interrogate. But let's go, caller. How you doing? Guardian Radio AM with C. Henry.
Yeah, Mr. Nuri, and also Ms. Green. The matter y'all discussing is very fundamentally important to all Bahamians, because the mere fact that they had that incident near our Turks and Caicos, and they are persons from England trying to, was apparently summoned there to look at what has taken place. We don't know the impact from such a situation, and we have to protect the Bahamas. We cannot allow any spacecraft to just land in our territorial water, because we are an independent country, and we have the right to decide as to what happened in this territory. So I don't understand how this situation could have been done without having consulted Bahamian people. This is egregious. I don't know what effect this would have in the Bahamas the next 10, 15 years from now. Notwithstanding further down into the future, we got to protect our Marines. There's so many things need to be taken into account. So this matter, for this to be taking place next week, is just beyond me. No discussion was done. I had nothing in Parliament. I had no meetings were held with the Bahamian people to find out the pros and cons. What studies was done to show that there's a safeguard mechanism in place to ensure that there's from this impact that our land and sea would not be totally obliterated. I think I'll even go that far. You know that, so I'll tell you how I think about it. We need to get serious in this country and take things. I'm glad that you two have gone into in depth trying to get this point across to the Bahamian people, but this is a matter that should have been debated from last year. We should have known what are the pros and cons, what is the situation, what kind of study is being done, because we can't take anything for granted. Next week is right here. And so you see what Turks and Caicos is going through right now. Those places have in their possession things that they should not be holding in their hand, period, because they don't know what kind of radiation, what the after effect is from that on their territory as a society. So we've got to take matters in our own hand and demand that the politicians account to us. You just don't go and make these agreements. And the reason why they land in the Atlantic Ocean is for a reason. It's a specific reason why they do that. So what you're going to bring them close in proximity to our land, Exuma, and the other surrounding territory. So we are in, we are in extreme danger because we don't know what the fallout is going to be in the not too distant future. So
okay,
continue to comb this. Y'all continue to go down this path until we can get something from our politicians and put a hold on this.
I appreciate
say to the look here, we agreed, but guess what? We have to cancel that because we are not satisfied with X, Y, Z. We just got to stand up.
I appreciate you, Colonel. Before I go to the next caller, about 3-4 months ago, let's call it 6 months ago, I brought it, we had a discussion where I said I noticed there were some prisoners working on Harrow Road, which seems as if they were employed in the prison outfits,
mm-hmm.
but they seem to be doing construction for a private company, not for like on a government project, right? Because I appreciate that. It seems as if, well, there's at the credit union there, the union there, and they was doing construction on that place. And I say, who hired them? They seem to have a contractor. Just recently, I saw the minister, Keith Bell, made an announcement that they're doing some kind of pilot program where they're having prisoners, wards of the state who at Her Majesty's, what the correct name? They changed the name recently.
Bomber's Department of Correctional Services.
Yes.
But we still know it as
Foxville Prison.
Her Majesty's Prison.
Yes, I call it Foxhill. And they have a pilot program where they employ prisoners who are on a work release. They have like 8 months, less than 8 months to go. And they are trying to give them, make sure they have readily skills and they are paid for it. And I have some concerns. I have some concerns about it. And I want to interrogate my concerns. I know you have some articles to read. But let me get these two calls and then that's the conversation we're going to go down that way. Go ahead, Corley. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
I'd like to highlight a few things to the Negroes and the population at large. You know, there have been many secret experiments, and to the last question, to the caller, he said the studies, we are a part of the study. During the plandemic, the domdemic, we saw that, we were told that the adjuvants were safe and this and that. And so, you know, it sickens me. I don't know it all. Only God knows it all. Why they picked the bombers, I don't know and I don't care. But what I do know is that you're always going to be lied to. You know, you guys have to delve into the mind and the psyche of a billionaire. You know, it's just shut up. And do and listen. You see, you don't understand how people think, you know. Money runs the world. Poor people don't have a right to live. And you guys don't. There was a guy on Harvard. I mean, not Harvard. God Show Sunday. I don't know who he is. But I didn't know it was a rebroadcast. And I was very impressed with what I was hearing. He was saying the exact things that he has on the radio. So just shut up as dumb Negroes and just listen to what they say. Nothing is harmful on this craft or nothing harmful is going to be done until you find out. So, I mean, be all naive. We don't even have a gas chromatography machine or any type of fluorescent that the spectroscopy, anything to detect anything that is dangerous to us or harmful to us, much less the scientific armament material to say whether they are telling us the truth. And from my experience throughout life and history, you're always being lied to. So, I mean, just shut up, dumb Negroes, and believe what master tell you. That's all I can say, my bless up.
I appreciate it. Let's go to this next caller so we can transition. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Call girl once. Go ahead, I can hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's it. A nice meeting. Listen, I think this is a question of what the whole world of the bank and the bank. Anything goes for the citizens. Anything. They don't care much the government is going to allow us to do it once we see some cash towards next tourism. They didn't turn into all of this here. They turn it into what tourism, what do you call it? Space tourism. Anything goes in the Bahamas, once it involves anything. that is reflective of what they think of us as people. We need to be concerned about that. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with those space standards and all this. What about the environment and the damage it's doing? Well, okay, if you have, that's just as bad as them posters who come here and take, little by little. Anyway, y'all go have fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
There's some concerns, and people just need to
have
be explained to.
Why not do it in the Tongan Ocean? Is it too close to the U.S.? Is that the problem?
No, the Tongan Ocean is close to Andres.
Yeah.
But then the Ortec base.
The Ortec resources are right there.
Yeah.
Like to launch from, to send a recovery team. If anything happens, you got your Ortec resources right there.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's go read this article.
One quick text. I mean, you got some text here. Good morning. I don't see an issue with a plea deal if there are mandatory minimal sentences for certain crimes. For sexually assaulting a minor, minimum sentence should be 15 years. Thank you, Texter. Here's another one. Interesting. I wondered if transportation safety officials were involved in oversight of spacecraft. Apparently, they are, as the British transportation inspectors are on site in Turks. In his first week in office, President Musk...
President Musk.
He's not the president. Began the gutting of the American Transportation Safety Agency, the NTSB, the regulators who would oversee his operation. The pattern appears to be clear. Elon Musk is, I like the pun because I'd be looking up in the night sky and sometimes it's clear and I can see the satellites.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk is seemingly using his presidency to remove all impediments to moving his business interests forward, whether competition, financial, environmental, or safety. Note, it's documented that Sam searched the world for a location with the most lax crypto laws and he found paradise. Now, I rebuke this text, sir. We need to find out who the travel agent is who told Sam to come here, because I believe that was Joe Leader's travel agent too. Good. Sorry, you have a caller.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good, thank you.
Great. Ben, I don't agree with this at all as a Bahamian. I think that's going to damage our waters. It's an Exuma. Exuma is pristine. I don't know why they would want to destroy what we have naturally. I don't agree with it at all, darling heart. And I agree with the lady who called a minute ago. She's right on point about that. Yeah, everything for sale. And then when it's all done and finished, our children have no waters to go fishing in. I don't like this at all.
If they could afford to go to Exuma.
Man, see, that's another thing, Miss Green. Man, wait, man.
I love that expression.
You're right about that.
Hush your teeth.
Because they be chattering sometimes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. So let's go read this article. Like I say, I am concerned. Let me tell you what I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Studying American history, we know that there are some prisons. They privatized prisons, right? They privatized prisons where whoever in charge of the prisons now make profits of the workers inside the prison. Mm-hmm. And I want to know if there's the same thing happening in the Bahamas. Will these prisoners get a fair wage? Because, you know, we have a minimum wage listing in the Bahamas, and that part of our constitution, no one should work for free.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely we know that the prisoners must be paid. And I want to know if this is the contractor is for hire, because I think it's private contractors. Will the contractor be making a profit off prison labor? I have a problem with that.
And why should, I mean, why isn't this prison labor working on government projects, like maintaining government-owned entities?
Yes.
Right?
When it's not beef-for-project, it'll be for the betterment of the Bahamas.
It'll be for purpose.
Yeah, it'll be for purpose. So when you see they say in houses, right, and that these private contractors are trying to get the lowest bid and the lowest labor possible so they can make a greater project. I am concerned about this new industry that they are introducing to the Bahamas, especially when it's competing with already established contractors who are struggling to find cheap labor in the first place. So it seems to be an unfair advantage, especially if a contractor to get a contract with government to say, okay, we give you the access to cheap labor.
There you go. And this is important because then it ties into the migrant conversation, right? Where locally, mm-hmm. we're seeing a similar thing happen in the United States where suggestions are being made that Trump intends to replace the migrant labor, both documented and undocumented labor, primarily seen in agricultural spaces and construction, right? Mm-hmm. He is prepared to replace that labor with prison labor, right? So let me start off, though. We're going to read from this article. Claire says prison work program, quote, safe, as FNM deputy leader raises concerns. In this article, Commissioner Claire dismissed these concerns, giving assurance that the program is safe and has been operating for the past 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make that point.
And like Miami said, I saw people doing, prisoners doing private contractual work, and I had issues with it someone is making profit off prisoners. But now we're hearing that it's been in operation for two and a half years. 2.5. So who is this private contractor?
Well, listen, let me read from the articles, because the articles don't identify who the private contractor is.
Should we know?
But it does, of course we should know. Of course we should know.
Yeah.
But it indicates that practice is taking place. So there are two articles, one from the Tribune and one from the Guardian. I want to read from both because each article adds different information, right? Let's start with the Guardian article. Commissioner of the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services, Dawn Clear, yesterday defended an inmate work release program that allows prisoners to be hired for construction work and other manual labor on private properties throughout New Providence. Claire told the Nassau Guardian that about 70 to 80 inmates are a part of a prison, quote, industries program, close quotes, that allows them to earn minimum wage and work outside of the Fox Hill facility under the supervision of correctional officers. He said the program aims to rehabilitate prisoners and reduce recidivism. That's like repeating offenses. Claire was contacted for comment after Free National Movement deputy leader Shenandoah Cartwright raised concern about reports that prison labor is being used to construct or renovate homes in Western New Providence.
Private homes.
Claire confirmed that about 4 inmate construction teams are working throughout New Providence.
And when I saw the team, this is like 20 prisoners working at one. That's a whole construction site.
Yeah.
This is not like one individual working and getting training at these intervals. They're a construction team. But continue.
So you remember when we talked about organized labor? Right? The teams that work together. So Claire confirmed that about 4 inmate construction teams are working throughout New Providence. He said inmates are working in Fox Hill, Bain and Grantstown, and on West Bay Street. In addition to doing work for civilians.
For civilians. So they're being hired out.
The inmates work with the Urban Renewal Program and the Bahamas Public Parks and Beaches Authority.
And I'm assuming that we are cool with the Public Parks and Urban Renewal, because that's not for profit.
Right.
That's charity. So you're working on the benefit of the Bahamian people.
And you're getting minimum wage.
And you're getting minimum wage.
Because you're working.
Yes.
Right? He said, quote, we have an inmate industries program where persons can come and seek our assistance and the inmates are paid minimum wage. When you say persons can come and seek our assistance.
They're looking for cheap labor, cheaper than the immigrants, and say, man, I'm at the prison because I know I could get a better rate and then charge an abnormal rate because it's a private thing.
Okay, now.
That's me assuming now.
Because as a civilian, right, and I'm using civilian separate from private contractor, right, from contractor. Now, as a civilian, I may be elderly, I may be a little tight in the pocket, right?
What are Urban Renewal for that?
Listen, so I'm inclined to hire a migrant, but at my age, I can't determine whether this boy is here legally or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just know him. I don't know if he's lying to me. I just need somebody to work on this project. I need to get this done right away. I'm not going to take the risk of potentially hiring an undocumented migrant if I know that I could go to BDOCS and say, hey, I don't want to hire an illegal. I cannot afford to hire the people who are offering their services. I hear you have an alternative.
Yes.
So I could.
That is much cheaper.
I don't necessarily like it, but I could appreciate it, right? I could appreciate how people are thinking. I'm not hiring an undocumented migrant that I could afford. There is an accessible option.
Do prison labor have national insurance to pay? If they get hurt on the job, do they get benefits since they're working?
You're absolutely right. Like, since you're working and you're working either in construction that comes with those risks or in landscaping, which has other risks, like you could lose a finger with a weed whacker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what? is national insurance being paid? What are the insurance provisions provided for these people who are on the job outside of the prison? Let me keep reading from this article. Claire said the prisoners are accompanied by correctional officers. They leave the prison at 6 a.m. and return at 4 p.m. These are persons who are going home in the next 6 months. That's one thing that's indicated, that the program is apparently only accessible to inmates who have 8 to 6 months left on their sentence.
They call it a prison year. So a year is 6 months, I think, in prison. They have a year left.
So you're telling me that already in the Bahamian prison judicial system that they read a year is 6 months?
6 months.
And they're given plea deal? That's your plea deal right there? No. Shut up.
You got 5 years.
Shut up. You want me to change my life from Christ?
I'm just saying that 6 months is a year.
You want me to change my life from Christ?
6 months is a year.
You mean that you're telling me they could sentence me for 3 years and I only could serve a year and a half?
Yeah, a year and a half.
That's a plea deal already. Get rid of the plea deal. That's the plea deal already.
Let's read as we go to this caller who's waiting on us.
All right. Cartwright, Shenandoah Cartwright, opposition deputy leader, said while the FNM supports inmates gaining self-sufficiency, particularly those preparing for their release, public awareness and notification about these practices is necessary as a result of these reports of inmates' presence in residential communities. Bahamians have deep concerns and questions. Too many Bahamians and residents, this seems to be too many of us. This seems to be alarming and inappropriate. Further, there's a fundamental question of a Bahamian taxpayer-funded department and inmate labor being used in the construction of private homes. Is this exercise a legitimate works program authorized by the Ministry of National Security in conjunction with BDOCS? If so, what is its framework and scope? How were the homes chosen? How does such a program comport and comply with BDOCS regulations? Claire says he does not want the program turned into political football.
Let's stick
a pin right there.
Yeah, see what the audacity of him. Let's go to the caller. But I passed a big house on Fire Trail Road the other day, right? And I said, who owned this house? And the person said, you know, that was built by prison labor.
But for what?
It's a mansion.
But for who?
I can't say who it's for. I'm going to give him problems because the person. Anyway, let's go to the caller. It's a big mansion on Fire Trail Road. You go there, that prison labor who built that. And I said, they built this? This is a $1 million house. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call a girl once. Call a girl twice. Let me hang up on that and continue.
Aaron. Okay. This point here where Claire said he does not want the program turned into a political football, adding that it is changing inmates' lives. Quote, this is a new paradigm shift we are using now to try and cut down on persons coming back to the prison, he said.
Not when you're taking advantage of them and someone making profit. If the contractor is making profit of prison labor, then there's an issue we need to investigate and interrogate.
Here's the next thing. What about the people who are unemployed and not in prison?
They ain't care about them.
Let's go to the phone line.
Them say can go back in prison.
My tooth started chattering. Go to the phone line.
Them
say
can go in prison. We want to recidivism. Go ahead, Carlo.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Green. Morning, Mr. Green.
Morning.
Ms. Green, I like Ms. Green. This is actually a good question. What about the individuals on the outside who could use that same employment? I guess they got to go to jail to get a job.
Look at God.
You know, I mean, I guess that's the plan for the future. I mean,
in fact, the way these by them talking about housing and the need to create more beds for foreigners, it looked like you got to go to jail to get someplace to sleep.
You understand how they come from there, and especially how they saying that's the someone said that's the direction that President Trump wants to head in, where he wants to replace the workforce with the prisoners. I mean, that's what's going on here. I mean, do you think that's a coincidence? You know, the kind of way if the FNM is in power right now, they'd be doing the same thing right now. That's why Mr. Cartwright doesn't have a big issue with it. You know, he's going to skirt around it a little bit just to like throw something at it, but he's not going to really contest it in any real way because. He understands that that's the plan, right? But see, if they really cared, right? Why like how Ms. Graham is talking, she doesn't mind them going and the prisoners working on government projects and different things. Like how they used to, I remember as a younger child, right? Man, I used to see the prisoners all over the place doing road work, painting buildings, doing all kinds of things. But nowadays, what happens is individuals are contracted to do those things now. You know what I mean? They put the prisoners there so individuals on the outside can make millions of dollars so that the public can pay unnecessary money to individuals who we don't have to pay it to. And now they're going to try and take the prisoners now and have them put them in an area now where they're going to take jobs that could have been possibly for young men on the outside who needs job. And when they can't find a job, then they can commit crime and they can go to the prison. You see, you have to understand that in America, they have the, like how CA was talking, they have this prison system now where the whole incarceration thing is offered now. I mean, who invests in the prison? I mean, because people only invest in things when they anticipate this thing will rise. And so that means, so, and once you invest in something, you're going to want to have your product to keep going and to have the profit. And that's why people are saying now that the music industry in the States, the music industry are invested inside the prison now. So they put out music to encourage individuals, young males, to go to jail because why? They got to keep the product flowing. You understand where I come from? So we as a people need to understand that that this type of thing, man, I mean, come on, man, we can't sit back and just be stupid fools and allow our government to just wastefully spend our money and continue to create situations that are going to continue to worsen the problem as opposed to solve it. Because like I said before, when you start to employ, give the prisoners construction jobs that young men on the outside could have had, what the young men are going to do now? What are they going to do? They're going to turn to crime. So come on, man, people, man, let's hold this government accountable, because I wouldn't even begin to talk for that space that thing, because that's a bunch of foolishness. We need to stop all this nonsense, man. You know, the guy in the way, come on, man, see it. Come on, Miss Green. Come on, Howard. All these people around who claim to be intelligent, man, we sitting around just watching all these things go down. Hell of a good day. Thanks for the time.
And thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Ms. Nuri, when I was young and listening to Angela Davis talk about the prison industrial complex, I really never thought it was happening here.
Yeah.
We have to ask ourselves, have we created a prison industrial complex aligned with the Americans? And do we have a preschool to prison pipeline?
My concern is, in this recent announcement of industries being created, are we now creating a prison labor industry?
No. We rebuke that.
But man, they say don't make it political.
In the words of the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram, the devil is a liar.
Or the words of Hubert Alexander Minnis, NPO. No.
Please, no.
We come right back. I see you callers. We're waiting. It's now 11:50. We have 10 whole minutes to debate this again. So let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Bala boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
It's the lottery of love that everybody wins.
I love you.
Everybody Wins is giving away over 100,000 in cash prizes in the Lottery of Love.
I love you.
All February long, every $20 spent, you'll receive a raffle ticket. The more you spend, the more chances to win. And you could be among the 30 winners randomly selected on February 28th to win $10, $20, or even $30,000.
I love you.
It's the Lottery of Love at Everybody Wins. Remember to game responsibly and get ready to win.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the night of love.
Also performing, Regina Bell. Also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band, Back to Love. Saturday, February 15th. It's a spectacular all-white affair at the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online. BahamasEtickets.com. Plantation Bar and Grill. Big Boys Cafe. And Tropics Bar and Grill. For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there. Make it like it
was. Daddy, don't touch me there. I'm gonna tell on you one day, I swear. Can't you see I'm scared? You're supposed to be my father. Ooh, daddy, don't touch me there. I'm gonna tell on you one day, I swear. Can't you see I'm scared? You're supposed to be my father. Every day I wonder why my daddy had to be the one to take away my innocence.
Every time I hear the song, I just get sad, you know. Especially in the Bahamas now, especially on some family islands, especially among some communities, we have a problem. And this song is very sobering, so I'm glad we're able to play it. But we have a caller waiting now. Let me engage them. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's a good thing with the prison thing. And, you know, everything we do, if it's our first time as a country doing it.
Okay, let me ask you this question, sir.
Go ahead.
Now, suppose you are a contractor. You hire Bahamians, right? You pay them $12 because they're skilled labor, right? You have a challenge trying to get a government contract because of a competition. And then there's a contractor out there who gets access to prison labor, who pay them minimum wage. And but all of you are bidding on the same contract. Who do you think you can get it?
But according to what the prison commissioner said, any company could come and petition to have prisoners work on their job.
So I should fire what I have now and just hire prisoners.
Let's see, but that's two different things there.
What I'm saying that this is a competition
contract that needs to be properly regulated, and then you have the prison system. So the prison system isn't going to control the person bidding on a government contract. You see what I'm saying there?
When you see the Minister of Housing make an announcement, which house do you think can get built?
Which houses do I think is going to get built?
When you see the Minister of Housing making the announcement?
Well, they're going to build those low-cost homes. But see, this is where...
You think they're going to build low-cost homes?
I can understand and appreciate what the commissioner is saying when he's saying that he doesn't want it to become political.
But see, his opinion doesn't come with the citizen. Information is about us in the Bahamas. We make commentary.
But pause, Nuri. When the commissioner, because I wanted to respond to that, when the commissioner said he doesn't want it to become like a political football, the way that it becomes a political football is when you are not transparent about what it is you're doing, which leaves the opposition room to ask questions about what you're doing, right? That's when it becomes political, when the opposition starts asking questions, right? It's not political if the general public are inquiring and asking questions. And the way to prevent that is to leave no question unanswered.
Well, or just have the answers once the questions are being asked.
No. See, here's the difference. You don't need to wait for me to ask you the question. You know the question exists. Just provide the information.
My view on it, Aaron, is, okay, someone's in prison. Make sure to have the proper protection mechanisms and other things in place to ensure that their rights are not being violated. But then also, I would want to minimize putting that information out there, because then you have some person that might have a a grudge with someone that's in prison. I could find out that this person is on the scale. I show up
well,
on a job.
No, no,
and
I don't.
This person.
The transparency is not providing a list of individuals who will be working, you know, on the teams. Although those lists should exist for other government agencies. First off is, we know that there is a work program. We know the scope of the work program. We know the areas that the work programs exist in. We know the time frame. We know that the workers are going to be in this area from 6 a.m. or from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. That way, if I see someone who looks like they're in prison uniform before 7 a.m., or after 3 p.m., now I'm alerted to say, hey, something's wrong here. This is outside of their normal scope of work.
But let me ask you this, caller. Should you know the name of the contractors who gets the contract?
Yeah, most definitely.
We don't know who the contractors are.
Yeah. But that's another entity, another thing that has nothing to do with the prison.
It's been 2 years now. 2 years have been going on, and we don't know the name of no contractors.
We can take this conversation in a completely different direction than me, and you probably wanted to go, but I don't want to go there.
I just say it'd be 2 years now, and they're building houses, private houses.
I agree with you.
So
yeah, but see, this could help on twofold. It could help the prisoners get a percentage of it, and the prison itself get a percentage of it. And if they're managing it and using it the right way and transparently, it could help minimize the public purse of trying to take care of a prisoner.
Now you're saying that
be like they're taking care of themselves.
You're saying the prison should get the percentage of the money too?
Yeah.
I'm saying that too.
The contractor, the prisoner, and the prison.
Yeah.
And who spends the money for the prison?
It's spent back on the prisoner.
It's spent back on the prisoner. Yeah. So do they get that money and what's allocated to them too from the public purse?
They get, let's say if they're making about 40 cents on every dollar, and then it's 30 contractor, 30 prison. Then the prisoners, they don't get it's some is on their commissary, and then some is there for when they come out. So it can help to reintroduce them into society, so they can have something out of their pocket, and maybe that the jobs that they're working on,
right? Because
could continue to employ them after they come out of prison.
This estimate is just an estimate. 6 months at minimum wage, I think, is roughly $2,100. Roughly. Right? $2,100 over the 6 month period. So, of that $2,100, we say let's split it into thirds, 7, 7, and 7, 700, 700, 700. What if we leave 1,400 for the prisoner, 700 for the prison, and of that 1,400 for the prisoner, 1,000 of that is kept for when they're released. And 400 of that is available for them on commissary.
I want to know what the prison need the money for.
All the problems just now.
The money for the prison is going to pay for the prisoner while he's in the prison, or the money will be put into a fund so they're going to repair, like how they have the people still. Remember the guy was stabbed while they were taking the bucket, the slop buckets out.
Yeah.
We put this money towards making sure the people them could use the bathroom decently, because that's not a part of the punishment.
They have the workers there now to fix the bathroom. They ain't no money for that. I still don't know what you want to do with the money. The workers there.
If a prisoner generates $2,100 over 6 months in that work program, right? Some of the money that they generate will be the $700 goes to the prison to pay for the prisoner's cost of being like, hey, I paying for some of the taxpayers.
I just don't know where that money going.
To fix the bathroom, to make sure the people them could have a decent bathroom as opposed to 2025 and they still using slop buckets. It's embarrassing. Every MP, every member of the legislature, and every member of the executive should be brought to Bay Street to explain why they can't do their job properly.
And what would the contractor, what'd he get?
The contractor should get what the materials cost.
You got to get profit.
And a capped profit. You get a profit of 10%. Profit.
The contractors get 40% now. How do you get cap?
Cap it to 10% because your labor costs, you ain't paying nothing for labor.
What contractor could do that? Go ahead, Carla, before we...
The ones who want to... The contractors who want to participate in the program. If you don't want to do that, you can't participate in the program.
They're getting 40% Simple. Now. They're making profit off
go,
it.
Go do that.
That's why I asked about it.
And make 40% when you could make it. And when you make 0%, don't come to us for nothing.
Mm. Go ahead, Carla, before we go.
Yeah, so just to balance it off, we have to make sure that the inmates are getting a fair wage and providing the skills and training certificate in hand when they come out. And adequate supervision to make sure that safety for both the citizens. It's a work in progress. So everybody has
to. It's a 2-year work in progress.
Something that we can build upon.
It's a 2-year work in progress. They ain't perfected yet.
It's not, and no, it's not even the first iteration.
Take longer than necessary.
The problem is, it's not even the first iteration of a work program.
Yeah, but you know, this is going on longer than that.
Yeah, like I said, I saw them billing private entities, you know, and I'm saying why are the prisoners billing for private people?
Let's just pray that all goes well and it's something that it could reduce recidivism and we could see something positive for the prison community.
Prisoners could leave prison with a degree of economic agency.
And I want to know who the contractors are. I want to know who the contractors are making profit off the prisoners.
You need to come.
And I want to know who the projects are for. Because if the billing house for the commissioner of the prison to get a big mansion, I have a problem with that. If they billing houses for government MPs and politicians, I have a problem for that. I need to know who house they billing.
Yeah, because they don't like to declare. They don't like to declare nothing.
Because I see that big house on that Fire Tree Road. I see that big house on Fire Tree Road, and I know the prisoners build that. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
I'm gonna tell on you one day. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.